Today's episode is with Makozi Candace, and Makozi is an abundance activator and authentic African shaman that helps burned out conscious visionaries fulfill their highest potential using mindset, mindfulness, and metaphysics mastery. And we talk about quantum physics, which she is, as she says, gifted in science and math, and I'm not. What I love about Makozi is she really knows her stuff. And we had a long conversation, and I don't even think we got to all the stuff I wanted to talk to her about, but I had heard her on another podcast episode that I listened to, and it was so powerful that, and I had such aha moments listening to it. So I reached out to her. We're in a group together on Facebook. So I reached out to her and said, I would love to have you on my podcast. And unfortunately, it wasn't until the very end that we talked about one thing that I think is really the most powerful thing, and that's our ancestors' DNA and how it shows up as energy within us. And I think it's such an important, it's important to understand, and she walks us through that understanding very well. And so I would love for you to listen to the entire episode. It is long. Maybe you can listen to it in two sittings. But we also talk about her. She is multiracial. And so she talks about that perspective and growing up in the world, and which is particularly important right now with what the world is going through or our country is going through. And we also talk about triggers and why they're good, which I loved it when I heard that, because I had just been triggered when I heard that episode, and what she said about it really helped me through that as well. So I had to navigate it, but hearing that and hearing her speak to triggers in a positive way was really a great gift to me. So let's get on with the episode. Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had, so it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And I am so excited for Makozi to come on. I don't even know if we need to say your last name. But Makozi is a very interesting person. She is a shaman, and you know, you're going to get into talking about what that is and how you got trained in that. But I didn't even know what that was until probably about a year ago or a year and a half ago when I heard Jim Fortin talking about it. His brother-in-law is a shaman. So anyways, just a quick, I'm going to turn it over to Makozi to talk about her journey and her less than midlife, because she's a younger person that I am inviting on today, because I heard her on another podcast that I listened to, and I had a couple of breakthroughs while listening to that interview. So I wanted to have her on and talk to her about that and those breakthroughs that I did have. And she told me she had a quarter century transformation. So we will go there. So some of my listeners might have children going through quarter century breakthroughs. But just a little bit about Makozi and how we met is we met in a pop-up group for a coach that I have who is doing a new launch for his online program. And I happened to just be lurking in the group because I'm a big fan of his. And I was, you know, just trying to share if anybody had questions, you know, what I had gotten from the value of being a part of his tribe, for a very close part of his tribe, because I'm in a higher level mastermind that he has. So I don't know how we ended up chatting, but we took it to a private message, and Mikosi was asking about the mastermind I'm in. And I think she was a little bit on the fence because it's expensive, basically a $15,000 investment. So, but I just answered her questions honestly. And I was excited when she joined, because the people in the mastermind, if anybody listening is in a mastermind, you'll know that when you're in a group of amazing people, it kind of like spreads to you and you learn so much from people. And so I have just been around this amazing community, which Mikosi is now part of. So, and I've watched her since she's joined take her business and herself, because it's a very personal growth kind of also, mastermind, to a next level. And it's just been a joy to watch you. And I'm so excited to invite you here. So why don't you introduce yourself and share a little bit about your story?
Well, sure. I mean, I'm number one, so happy and excited to be on your podcast, especially talking about anything around transformation. I love talking about. And I also really enjoy talking about quantum leaps. But
yes, science. Before, let's get into the science of
yes.
everything. Yeah.
But before we get into that, just to give a little bit of background on me, I work with conscious visionaries. So I work with typically high-level entrepreneurs and assisting them in creating incredible abundance in their life, more freedom, overcoming perfectionism, increasing their self-worth, all of those amazing things that really create a fulfilling life and skyrocket their business as like a natural byproduct. So I'm a spiritual mentor and an advisor. So that's essentially what I do. But you brought me on because my story is, you know, it's not a midlife crisis because I haven't gotten there yet, but it was definitely a kind of quarter life crisis. My spiritual journey actually started on some level my whole life. There's been, I've been spiritually gifted, but I really suppressed it for many, many years. And around 15 or so, my best friend was murdered. And the night that they pulled the plug on her, she actually appeared to me at the end of my bed.
Wow.
And up until that point, I had been having experiences, but I kept telling myself, you're imagining that. That's not real. That doesn't make sense. which I think is a common thing when people have what we call supernatural experiences.
Did you ever share that with anybody that you were having them?
There were a friend here or there. There were some things that I was sharing with my mom, mainly around just knowing things about people. So there had been an incident where my stepfather brought his best friend around, and he never said anything or did anything to me. But I told my mom, I was like, I don't want to ever be left alone in a room with this guy because he's molesting girls my age. And my mom thought, that's crazy. She was like, there's no way. He's so great and everyone loves him and yada, yada, yada. And some years later, it did come out that he had been engaging in highly inappropriate relationships with teen girls. And so I had told people here or there, but I was also very in my mind. I'm a little bit rebellious. Actually, I'm a lot rebellious. and growing up, like, my mom was a single mom, and actually she was a single teenage mom. And I'm mixed. So there was like a lot, there were many things that I felt like were against me statistically. And I was like, I refuse to be a statistic. So it became almost this like competition where I'm like, I need to be top of the class. And eventually it led to college. Okay, what's the hardest thing you can do? Okay, I'm gonna become a doctor. Whole time, I was having these spiritual experiences, this illness that would keep me tied to the bed that no doctors could really explain. I was seeing and interacting with not only people that had passed on to the other side, but then also various types of, we'll call them spirits. And, you know, that's happening while I'm in school planning to go to med school.
Well, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you were telling the story of when your friend was murdered.
Oh, yes. Before yes. That. Yeah. So my friend, that's really when things kind of just like catapulted. I was about 15. And she showed up at the end of my bed. And this was the first time when I was like, okay, like the plug was just pulled. This is someone that I know. And so I start pinching myself and, you know, blinking because I was like, I can't believe that this is happening right now. I must be asleep. And I wasn't asleep. And she laughed. And that was what really threw me off because I was like, okay, this, like she's there's interacting happening and I am not asleep. I am feeling these pinches. I'm not even tired. So that just stuck in my mind. And over the years, I kept having, it wasn't a consistent like everyday thing, but there were periods of time where I would have kind of this elevated experience, these elevated interactions, and I would try to ignore them as much as possible because mm-hmm. I'm over here trying to, you know, do amazing things in my family and become a doctor and all of those things.
Everything your parents want you to do too, right?
Yeah. I mean, on some level, my mom, she wanted a better life for me, which every mom does. And then there was also potential. So I was naturally gifted in science and in mathematics. So it was just kind of you know, you can do some of the most difficult things. Why not go for med school? Like what else is there? But things kind of started going downhill. My health started going downhill with this really unexplainable illness. I was in and out of doctor's offices all the time. And I would say I was maybe 23 or so. And my husband and I, at the time we were dating, because we were college sweethearts. And I was having so many issues with my ovaries and my uterus. We have a history in our family of endometriosis and polycystic ovaries. And so my doctor was like, look, you're having all of these problems. And based on your history and what I've seen from your mom, you're not going to have a lot of time to get pregnant. So if this is something that if you want to have a child, this is the time to do it. So I immediately start trying to get pregnant, went through a really difficult year trying to get pregnant, finally have my son. And during that pregnancy, I was on bed rest for 6 out of the 9 months because my body kept trying to miscarry. I ended up developing postpartum preeclampsia. And it was also my senior year of college. So I was taking, you know, I'm pre-med. So I'm taking like physics and chemistry and all of these more challenging classes, but I'm on bed rest having to teach myself all of these things. So when my son finally came, I only had one semester left. And I start, you know, children have a way of just making you reevaluate everything.
Yeah.
Everything. So I'm looking at him and I'm just thinking about that year of struggling, trying to get pregnant, the 9 months that were really, really hard. And here is this baby. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way that I can go to med school, you know, and dedicate myself to being in a classroom all day long, setting him to the side while I study. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. That absolutely is some women's path. But for me, I was like, there's no way. So I decided not to go to med school. I ended up getting 2 bachelor's degrees. So I took both of my degrees and was very surprised that really the only job that I could get was as a manager at Target because I was overqualified. I had been working through school. I was a top sales sales agent and manager, and I kept being told I was too qualified for the jobs I was applying for. So I ended up working at Target as a manager after college. And
I was a waitress.
I did a stint as a Red Lobster waitress.
Oh, everybody needs to be a waitress in their life. I say you have such appreciation for your servers when you have had that job.
You really do. You tidy up the dishes really neat.
Yes.
And you tip very well, even if they didn't do great.
Yeah. You know, just they're having a bad day. Yeah.
Yes. So I did go through that, but after college and being a manager at Target, I did have a relatively good schedule for retail. But every day that I had to drop off my son and go to work and not have any clue what happened to him the whole day. And then come home. And after doing all of the motherly things, it was like, I was getting like an hour a day with my child that I worked so hard 2 years to have. Mm. And I'm like, you know what? He's only going to be small once. And I might not be able to have another. And I haven't been able to have another. He's almost 8. And I haven't been able to. So
It was a little gift from the universe.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was miraculous.
Yeah. I so relate because I was working and we needed 2 incomes. And when my daughter came and I was like, I'm going back to work. And I handed her off to the daycare person that day. And I quit my job. I quit my job and I stayed home for 3 years, had another one, but I was like, I am not giving this child to either of my children to anybody else when they're infants. It's nothing I knew until the day it happened and I was there. It's like, I tell people all the time when they're pregnant, you know, old wise woman here, you don't know. You'll figure it out when it happens. But I love it's that hard. You committed to him fully like that. And like said, you know, everybody has their own. And that was just my story for me. And some people are fine with it. And they find, like, my daughter is working, my younger one, and she has the best daycare person.
Yeah.
So, you know, people do what they need to do.
Yeah. I think it's just each one of our individual paths. Mm-hmm. And for me, I didn't work at Target that long. I was there maybe a year, not even a whole year, I don't think. And I just kept telling myself, you know what, if you can figure out how to teach yourself physics and chemistry, and you can go through all of this challenge in your life to have this child, then you can figure this out. You can figure something out. And I will say that in my life, I bet on myself a lot. Way before betting on what people tell me, I just bet on myself a lot. So I sat down and I calculated the numbers because I was fed up with having to drop him off. And I'm like, I only need to make, I don't even remember what the number was, after calculating everything, you know, my, the daycare, the food, the clothing, the everything. It was something like $700 a month that I needed to make up the difference because daycare was so expensive. I'm like, I can make, there's a way I'm going to be able to make $700. And that was my goal. So I ended up getting started in direct sales. I literally bought my kit on a Friday. I put in my 2 weeks notice on that Monday. And I was like, this is happening. So I got started in that business and nearly failed. So I did okay at the beginning. And then once I ran out of people that were in my immediate circle, it just started dying. And there was this really small window of time where my husband was like, all right, I think you might have to start looking at going back to work. And I was like, oh no, I'm not going out that easy. So I reached out to another, she was my upline, but she was another woman in the company who was doing really well. And I was like, listen, all you got to do is just tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. And I literally did what she told me to do. It was very uncomfortable, but I did it anyway. And I ended up shooting to the top 1% of that company within the first 9 months of being in that company.
Awesome.
And so yeah. I got to be home with my child and I was doing better than, you know, working in a job. I was running my own business in direct sales. And that is what allowed, that was kind of setting the stage for me to be able to go on my spiritual journey.
It's so funny because my last episode was me talking about why I left direct sales or network marketing because I did the same thing. And I think it was a great first step for somebody who's trying to learn a business, an online business in this day and age. But yeah, so that's really cool that you kind of had that path as well.
Yeah, I did that for a couple years.
Yeah.
I did it just for a few years. But my back spiritual journey.
Back when I was your age there, I think there was Avon and Shackley. And those are the only.
That was like it.
Yeah. Oh, I think they had, I don't even know Pampered Chef was around yet.
But Tupperware was still around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So then what came next? Because you still have the science-y talent, but you haven't really
used it. While my son was little, some incredible synchronistic type of things ended up happening. And I ended up getting connected with a group that essentially was teaching spirituality, but as connected to Africa. And because things were unfolding in such a way, I was like, I can't deny this. I know that I'm in the right place at the right time. So I became a student and I'm, you know, raising my kid. I'm becoming a student of spirituality, but it's more about, I was learning from the Dogon, and the Dogon, for anyone who isn't familiar, they are a tribe in West Africa that is really renowned by anthropologists because of their deep knowledge of astronomy that we've only recently uncovered, and also mathematics and science, but also spirituality. So I started in that initiation, and I was in that initiation for 3 years, and I was traveling back and forth to Africa. And after my second trip, which was 3 months of me, I took my son and we were in the bush for 3 months in West Africa, traveling through different countries. And I came back and I had to like start my business from scratch because direct sales, I was in a party plan style. So all of my parties were from previous parties. So I had to basically like start it over every time I came back. And I was like, this is not going to work if I'm going to be traveling back and forth to Africa. So I kind of closed the doors on that and I started in the online space. My first foray was in marketing and social media. And then that has blossomed into once I completed my initiation to become a Zulu shaman, which is a South African shaman. I did that in 2018, and then I just brought that into the online space.
So explain what a shaman is for my listeners.
Okay, so a shaman is anyone who has heard of a shaman. Here, there's so much demonization of what a shaman is and so much mystery around it. But in really one word, a shaman is just a bridge. They serve as the bridge between the non-physical realm and the physical realm. Also between the unknown and the known, the spiritual and the practical. We operate in this place that is in between. And each one of us has different, there's different types of shamans even. There's different categories. So there's some who their focus is on doing divination and healing with plant medicine. Then there are others who are spiritual advisors, and prophecy falls under. Some shamans have the gift of prophecy. Some of us work with water, et cetera, et cetera. So there's many different kinds of shaman.
So this is one of my, if I were to say, I don't like to live with regrets, you know, I like to think of them as like that got me here. So, but I wished I had some spirituality introduced into my life. And my kids, my grandkids are being raised with that. And I think it's so fascinating. Like my 9-year-old granddaughter is like a master manifester. Like the, wow, the stuff she manifests. So it's really crazy. And I'm making up for lost time, I guess, but I think I'm also super, maybe it's, I'm more fascinated about it because it's like, I want to learn it all before I move on to the next thing. But I have such a belief in that there is a next thing, you know, and that this is just, you know, this level of learning, and then I'm going to go to the next level. But, you know, I just find it so fascinating. I'm so excited to introduce it in a way, because I've had a couple of interesting episodes. One was a woman who talked to dogs who had passed on, or animals. She talked to horses too. And another woman could talk to coma patients and people who had passed on. And it's such a gift, like these gifts that we like all have, but we're just so armored up that we just can't tap into that. And some people are so open and they're born like that, like you. But yeah, so I'm really eager to learn more, bring on more people like you, and just kind of like delve into that. So
yeah.
Well, so,
go ahead. I was going to say, I also think too that we're just in a time where we are really connected now more than ever. And so it's going to be really important for people like myself. One of my roles is to teach, but also to demonstrate the interconnectedness of religions and spiritual systems. So I work with I have Christian clients, Muslim clients. I even have had atheist clients, and then some who just identify as being spiritual. I really don't care what someone, what label someone puts on themselves. What I do care about is I usually ask, because I want to be able to speak to them in a language that they understand, that's going to really make sense for them. And being connected with your spirit, your own spirit, who you are, your soul, is one of the biggest, we'll call it one of the biggest gaps that's missing and causing so much suffering, so much misery in the world today, lack of fulfillment, burnout, depression, all of these things that really can be remedied just by people getting into alignment with their authentic self. And that can happen at any age.
Yes. I think there has to be a belief that is possible and exists. And I think, you know, I think back about myself, and I just let busyness overtake me, and what, you know, I never had any space to be quiet, and I sitting on the couch was like painful, you know, to me. So don't ask me to sit still and be quiet, and oh, you know, that's scary. So yeah, so I'm actually doing a new brand new workshop called My Secret Steps to Finding Passion, Purpose, and Profit After the Empty Nest, because I think so many women are so passionless when they get to midlife. And that when you were talking about lack of fulfillment, when you think of what do you think purpose is as it relates to the soul? I would love to know your perspective.
That's such a good question, because my perspective on purpose is very different than how most people see it. So the way that I perceive purpose is from an understanding. Let's pull a little science in, because I love science. Science right now will even tell you that for each person, there was a 1 in 4 trillion chance that you would exist in the unique form that is you, with all of your skills, your characteristics, your just unique innate qualities. So to me, your purpose is to actually be that version of yourself that you came into existence to be every single day, as much as possible, in many different ways. So in your family, in your church, in your community, in your business. And when you do that, you're going to know that you're doing it, because you experience, number one, fulfillment, incredible abundance, inner peace, and a level of freedom that is almost incomprehensible to anyone, because very few people are actually living this. Very few people are self-actualized, being their fullest self, because it requires us to let go of all of the conditioning, all of the people telling us, you know, you need to be this, you need to push harder, you have to work hard to get this. You know, all of those stories that we've had throughout the years that we then take on to be ourselves, and they aren't the truth of who we are. So purpose is allowing yourself to get back to, it's peeling back all those layers of other people's opinions, societal expectations, all those identities, letting go of those.
Yeah. I love that. Cause I feel for me is, cause I've always been a positive person, but it's, you can't mistake positivity for this feeling of alignment. And I feel like it's like this driving fire that is within you that you just feels so, like you said, abundant, fulfilled, but it's kind of this knowing that, and you're doing things intentionally, you know, to, you know, more of like service. I found an interesting model, and it talks about a spectrum, and there's like people you think of, you have to serve people, and people sometimes mistake that of, you have to serve them at a one-on-one, or, you know, you have to be like direct contact. But then there's like the scientist who's creating the new vaccine, and they're not working directly. Their fulfillment is service, but service in a way that impacts the world in a different way. And so I liked that, you know, it comes from being of service to the greater good, but it doesn't necessarily have to be like directly, talking to somebody. But yeah, I love that and feel so much the same about being your authentic self. And I think some people just don't know what that is. So,
yeah. So it
and
is,
I, that's I, my whole 47 years of my beginning of my life, not really being authentic with, cause I was like shut off from it, totally shut off. Mm-hmm. So how does somebody shut on or open up? What's the first step to that, doing that? People look externally for stuff, right? Externally.
Oh, yeah.
But let's buy the new thing. Let's have the new partner.
Yeah. Let's set the goal, and then we'll just go chase after the goal. And then you just find yourself your whole life. I caught on to that very quickly. I was like, wait a minute. I spent all these years in college chasing this goal. And then I get the piece of paper. And right now, that $40,000, $50,000 piece of paper is like somewhere in a box somewhere. That was, that's how the society presents quote unquote success. And so we have to really re-examine so many things. We have to really take on a different mindset. And the mindset really starts with who you're being on a day-to-day basis. And you can kind of start to, because I like to do this in real time. What will happen is there will be an event that happens in your life. And the key here is developing a high level of self-awareness, of consciousness. Consciousness here is the key to being able to get back in touch with who you truly are. So when things happen, let's call them a trigger. So it's something that happens, maybe you get an emotional response, or it just feels uncomfortable, or you want to just pretend it doesn't listen. I don't want to hear it. If you are allowing yourself to develop consciousness, then that's going to lead you into having a realization. Wait a minute, why am I getting so upset about this? There's something to that.
So can I interject for a second? So
yes.
This is one of the breakthroughs I had on the episode I listened to. And what you said was people get upset about triggers. This I'm paraphrasing probably, but people get upset about triggers, but we should be excited about triggers. And I had just had one with the whole thing that's going on in the world, and I was triggered by, and I shared this on a podcast episode that I was triggered by a really sad story about a police officer who died and as a result of the riots and, well, he was actually ambushed, but wife who was about to deliver a baby and a two-year-old. And I was triggered because I was married to a police officer for 25 years and I just saw myself in her,
Yeah.
And that could have been me back in the 80s and 90s. And so I was really triggered and I was getting bombarded by all this, other news. And I had a little like spat, if you want to call it, in a message with my oldest daughter, because she just hit me at the wrong moment. I'm in the car at the grocery store, sitting in my car but it led me on such a path, as you said, because I'm aware. And I'm like, why am I so triggered by this? And it led me to, and I had bought the book White Fragility, but I hadn't opened it yet.
Yeah.
So it led me, I was like, I need to do my affirmations. I need to meditate. I need to take deep breaths. I was like, all the tools. I'm like, I don't want to do any of that. I just want to be triggered, And so I was like, yeah. I just had this like, download that I need to go read this book. Mm-hmm. And I committed to reading every day and I've now finished it. And it was eye-opening. I'm a different person for that trigger. And so, So triggers, I love how you describe them. Yeah. And how consciousness and being aware of why we're triggered and it's like being an adult, but adults can be like children, right? It's like being an adult. Be mature.
Yeah. Well, anytime we have those triggers, I like to look at it as there's our higher self, which is our soul or the I don't even want to say non-physical part of us. It's the part of us that is so deep. It's the part of us that hears the thoughts. It's the part of us that feels the emotions. So like you and I are having a conversation right now and I'm hearing you, but who is hearing your thoughts in your head? Your higher self is the one hearing those thoughts in your head. Mm. So the higher self version of you isn't limited by this body. It's the part of you that lives on. So this part of you wants to experience expansion and abundance, etc. But you have another aspect of yourself that we call the ego, or you can call it the identity, that is connected to this physical body. And in order to survive, it creates limits and boxes on certain things. So to me, triggers are like when you're walking around in your own box of what you believe reality is. And then a trigger is when you hit up against that, the wall of the box.
Yeah. Or somebody's hitting on it.
Yeah. And your higher self is like, okay, it's time to expand. It's time to go bigger. It's time to shed this so that we can be bigger, so that we can have more experience. But if you just keep allowing yourself to be triggered without actually moving through the trigger and actually healing what's underneath, you just stay in a box your whole life, wondering why you're still not fulfilled, why you're miserable, why you're not experiencing magnificence in life. I live a very magical life, and stuff happens to me that people are like, how are you doing that? And I'm not doing it with, I'm not doing any journals. I'm not doing any of that stuff. It's only because I pay attention when there's a trigger and I examine how that's showing up in all areas of my life. All areas. How is that showing up for me when I'm dealing with my son, or when I'm talking to a friend, or when I'm seeing this cashier at the grocery store? And then, which is the other piece people really miss, then I begin to integrate and act on it. I immediately implement change in my life. It just has to be 1%. It doesn't have to be something big, but I step into that becoming. I become that version of myself, and that automatically puts me on a different trajectory than what I was on before. But I have to stay conscious and self-aware, because if I'm hitting the trigger again, there's more there. There's another layer you didn't hit on, girl. It's time to go a little bit deeper. There's something else there. And so I kind of look at it as like this onion, where you're just, every trigger is an opportunity to peel back a layer, heal something. And eventually you get to this place. I'm not going to say I'm totally healed, but you tap into this incredible, true inner power where almost nothing, like there's nothing that can really happen that is going to destroy me. Quarantine was, for me, it was pretty great. There were a few moments where I was like, oh gosh, this is stressful. I need to get out of the house. There were a few moments like that. But overall, I can sit still. I can be in silence.
Yeah. Yeah. It hasn't been much for me either.
Yeah.
And having an online business has been tremendous too. And I think it's probably, I think back to when I was in the corporate world thinking, I'd probably be thinking right now about there's got to be something better than this. But one of the things, you know, before we finish up, that I wanted to ask you, because, you know, we're in this mastermind together, and you were, you know, I mean, I think you're going to do it, but you were kind of, you know, a little worried about the investment. And I personally never, until I signed up for that a year and a half ago, never had a coach, never had a business coach. I had a business for 6 years, 5 years at that time. So, and man, I wish I had done it sooner. And you are, I think, gosh, you're so much younger and so lucky that you've done that. And the value that that has brought into my life and the acceleration that it's brought to my business. You know, I touched on the beginning about just having the community and the group of people that are up levelers that teach me every day, but just the value in having a coach is, for me, such a game changer. But I think a lot of people don't realize that value. So I'd love to hear your perspective, because you're, you know, in a place where you are a coach. And so, like, why would you think a coach needs a coach?
At this point, unless, I mean, I'll never say never, but it would take a lot for me to not have a coach for any extended amount of time, depending on, you know, where, honestly, I have a couple. I don't overlap them in the same category. So I personally don't like to have a whole bunch of business coaches at the same time, because I can't focus, I can't commit. But even as a spiritual teacher, I'm now working with someone in this other area that I want to learn from. And I also have, you know, the business coach, et cetera, et cetera. To me, I look at a coach in whatever field, love, life, business, spirituality, sports, like whatever. I look at it as a shortcut. And that's what it's been for me. It has been like when I was, when I was trying to create that business, if we go all the way back to when I was in direct sales and I was trying to do it on my own, I nearly failed. But then all I did was say, hey, what did you do to be successful? And I did not have to reinvent the wheel. I just did what she told me to do. And it worked. Now, over time, I learned her strategy and I learned her method. And there were some tweaks I had to make because it wasn't totally in alignment for me, because it was for her. But it gave me something to start from. It gave me the support, but also the higher level view. Because so often, even in that moment that you're talking about, when I almost didn't sign up and almost didn't commit at that higher level, the people that have gotten to a certain stage know that there's these do or die moments. You can't see it because you're not through the tunnel yet. But people who are on the other side can look and see you're at a do or die moment. And if you have someone there that's holding your hand, they can say to you, hey, this is a do or die moment. You're about to have a breakthrough. Hold on tight. You're almost there. It's about to happen for you. If you look at how many kids, like I'm sure a lot of your listeners at least have dealt with a kid who wanted to quit school, right?
Yeah. My youngest daughter. Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I think about all the times I wanted to quit college. There were multiple times I was like, this is a waste of my time. And even though I'm not technically using my degree, there's value that I got from it. And I had breakthroughs after, you know, going through those moments. So now I know when I'm up in those little tiny moments where it's like, all right, am I really committed to doing this? If I'm really committed to doing this, then the most logical thing is to learn from your elders. And I don't necessarily mean older, but I mean someone who's been there before. This is like the spiritual way. You learn from your elders.
And you know what's so funny is that James is between my two daughters. He is born the year between the two of them.
Oh my God.
My kid.
He is in age,
he is
your
so
kid.
Advanced. Yeah. Spiritually. I mean, he's like an old soul, I think. So
Yeah.
That's really cool. So coaches really see within us what we can't see. And that's, I think, what is so great too, is that, you know, no matter how hard we try and how advanced we are, you know, we have that little voice in our head that says, you're not good enough. No,
mm-hmm. No, I absolutely, the thing that has gotten me where I am today, especially in the past year, because in my business, it's a completely different business. You know, before I was really focused on, I'm in the spiritual space. Now I'm working with high level entrepreneurs. I mean, I'm talking 7- and 8-figure entrepreneurs shooting me messages like, you are the best thing that ever happened to me. Very different business.
I mean, they need spirituality probably as much, yes, if not more than other people.
I would say probably more, mm-hmm, but they also need it in a way. Once you get to a certain level, people stop telling you the full truth or it, like no truth at all. You get a lot of yes men around you. And I'm just kind of raw and unedited. And I'm like, hey, this area right here, you should probably look at this because you're being blank. Mm-hmm. And this is the problem, yeah, and it's causing you all these issues in your relationship or in your business or whatever. But that only happened because I was working with coaches who were like, hey, you have this gift of a perspective that like no one else has. So you should be working with these people because they're the people who are going to value it the most. And literally most of them are like in the tech space. So tech or online, that never crossed my mind. Mm. I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. So when they told me you need to be working with people in tech and in science and all of these spaces, I was like, what? That doesn't even make sense. But then as I started to explore it, those were the people who were already valuing what it was that I brought to the table, but I couldn't see that. Because I had a certain image of myself. Mm-hmm. So having that extra set of eyes on you, or the person who's going to ask you the question that you didn't think to ask yourself, can open up everything for you. I mean, I probably would have given up on the business a year ago if I hadn't.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah. Cause you're so valuable to the community and to the, you know, people that I know you're now working with. So before we go, there was this one thing that was like, when I listened to your episode that I wanted to share with my listeners because it was so mind blowing and I want to talk about it. And it's we probably don't have enough time to talk about it. You might have to come back. But I do want to put this idea in people's head. I think it's really important right now to do this. But what you said was that we have ancestral DNA, right? We have DNA made. It comes from many, many generations. You know, I visited this person's house and he took me downstairs and he's got like from 1400, his like family tree mapped out. And we carry the energy of our ancestors in us. And in this day and time, and everybody's talking about, I'm not racist, you know, us white people that like think, you know, that is like so mind blowing to me to think that that energy is there. And I want to talk about that. And oh, I do want to mention too, and it's kind of crazy, but I thought about this when I was thinking about having you on. We just started watching this Netflix series called Hell on Wheels. And it's set right after the Civil War when, you know, slaves had been emancipated, but they were still mistreated. You know, they weren't allowed to carry, they were railroad workers and they were working with white men, but they still weren't allowed to carry guns to protect themselves. There were so many, I mean, and of course there was Indians in it and, you know, whores in it. And it's like, and my husband and I look at each other and we're like, that was a very difficult life. And then there's one black man in it and he is a little more privileged because he is carrying a gun and working for the white man railroad owner. But he's not accepted into the white family and the black friends that he had, he's been kind of excommunicated from them. And it was like, what a horrible place to be. And so just, can we touch on what you mean by we carry our ancestors' DNA or energy in our DNA? And is that just part of being aware? And recognizing that? What does that mean?
Oh my gosh. What does that, that literally can be an entire workshop. Yes. I could probably do a whole course on that. Because it is, I would say, probably the most important thing to understand, spiritually. And it is the thing that is the least understood spiritually here, because our religions have, our religions and also our society, our culture has disconnected us from this truth. And I say this truth because I don't think there's anyone that's gonna argue with me that they are not a child of their mother and father, regardless of what God you believe in or no God at all. We can all agree we came from some parents. And if we didn't come from some parents, because this is 2020, you know, maybe we came from a petri dish that came from cells from some parents.
Right.
So what that means is, whenever a shaman or a spiritualist, we're talking about spirit, what we're really talking about is the DNA. The spirit is in the DNA. The energy is in the DNA. So when we're talking about certain traumas that have happened in your ancestors' lives, it's passed down. Even before, I mean, just, there's so many ways to go about this in science. If you think about it, your grandmother, when she was pregnant with your mother, the egg that would become you existed in her.
Oh my God. That is so true.
Okay.
Oh,
so there's
my
that.
God.
Then you also look at DNA. Science is even telling us, last I heard, I think they said 7 generations back. Then, and then there's now even some studies that are saying 14 generations back, and they're going to find that it goes back even further. Trauma can stay in your DNA until it's resolved. That's what I'm betting they're going to finally tell us. And when we're talking about trauma, we're not just talking about trauma on the receiving end. Trauma is a heightened, an elevated response that then is ingrained as a marker in the DNA and then passed down to children. So I'm mixed. There were issues where there were conflicting traumas in my being, because I had one side, I have ancestors who enslaved my, some of my other ancestors, maybe not directly, but there was a group that had enslaved people. Imagine what it does to a human being, even if they're trying to justify it in their mind. They know that this is a human and they're doing something to them. And it goes back even further, because,
well, yeah, if they're, and they're exhibiting pain when many times what they do, and it's like, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's like you, when you hurt a dog or a dog, when I step on my dog's toe, I feel horrible. So
yes.
Yeah.
Even you can try and make it make sense in your mind, but your DNA knows better. Mm-hmm. Your DNA knows. And this goes back even further, because even before there was the enslaving of Africans that we are really talking about here, there was a lot of turmoil happening, even in Europe, the enslaving of other Europeans and warring tribes. And that was happening in Africa. It's been happening all over the world. But all of that creates trauma response in the being, in who you are. And so we like to think, the identity aspect of us, the ego part of us, likes to think I'm Mikosi, but there is no part of me that's just me. Every part of me came from either my mother or my father, or their mother or father, or their mother or father, or their mother or father, and so on and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So with this understanding, sometimes the things that we are experiencing repeatedly that are creating these triggers are showing us an area that needs to be healed. It isn't necessarily even something that we experienced in this life, but it can be something that has to be resolved and healed in the body. So I've met quite a few people who have been really honest with me and told me that when all of this stuff around racism came up, some people have been really reacting with just this uncontrollable grief, shame, guilt, etc. And that can, one of the ways that people will deal with that is like trying to pretend it doesn't exist. Oh, it doesn't affect me. I'm not my ancestors. I never enslaved anyone or whatever. But all of that feeling is coming up so that you can heal it, so that you can deal with it. So there's two different languages that are happening on a spiritual mm-hmm. level. We would say your ancestors need to be healed because of blank, 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 blank. But on a scientific level, we can also say the same thing, that it's in the DNA, that there was a traumatic event recorded, and then it was perpetuated because it was passed down and no one healed it. And so each one of us has a responsibility. I mean, we can choose to ignore it if we want, but ultimately, we have this responsibility to heal ourselves. And when you heal yourself, you heal seven generations back and seven generations forward.
I love that, because people don't think about the future, you know? No. And that's one thing I really stress is, what kind of a role model do you want to be for your children and grandchildren? Yeah, what type of DNA do you want to give them? I mean, you know, it's kind of, the ship has sailed for the kids that are here, right? But the ones that are coming.
Well, even on a scientific level, the ship has never sailed.
Yeah.
Because if you understand quantum entanglement, because, you know, I can really get into this, quantum entanglement, everything is connected. So every time you make a change within yourself, it impacts everyone else. So no, the ship has never sailed. It's never too late. You can make a change till your last dying breath and it still make a difference.
And not just when you say entanglement, you don't mean just to your family. It's
right.
Like,
I mean,
the ripple effect is, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. Who you're being. Here's the thing is, all of us, because of quantum entanglement, whether you're aware of it or not, all of us are impacting each other just by existing, just by being on this earth, breathing. Even if yes. you don't see anyone, your yes. existence is affecting others. So becoming conscious about all of these different aspects and the role that you play, you have the greatest impact by taking personal responsibility for yourself and saying, you know what? I can't save everyone. I can't help people that don't want to be helped. And in fact, that's not my job. What my job is me.
Yeah.
I can become the change that I want to see, and it automatically impacts other people. And people will probably, they don't always believe me, but it's amazing the transformation that can happen in someone's life, in their relationships with other people, when they choose to say, you know what, I'm taking ownership for my life. I'm going to just focus on becoming the best version of myself that I can. And through that, other people are impacted.
Yes. What is the healing process exactly? If somebody recognizes, oh my, I've been crying way too much because, and there's some correlation they think to what's going on now, how would the process of healing begin?
Well, there's so many different avenues. There's so many different tools. I encourage people to really look at whatever tool their curiosity is being drawn to. Your curiosity, if you follow it without questioning it so much and trying to logic your way out of it, your curiosity will really, it can lead you to some really great places. But the most important part of opening yourself up to heal is to look at the darkness. Mm-hmm. It is to open yourself up to feel.
So to a healing human. For me could have actually been reading that book.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's really weird because I felt like I had this inner voice. Cause like I rejected all these things that I knew would probably work in the moment, but I had this like inner tapping that was like, no, this is what you need to go do. And mm-hmm. I stopped and I went and lay down on my couch for like 2 hours and read the first, like the introduction and the first two chapters. And I was calm and all better. So yeah, that was a healing. It really was.
Yeah, that was a healing. And now there's going to be other layers that are going to come because mm-hmm. that was a first layer. Now you're going to start to, because you've had the realization, you can start to look and see where it's showing up in all of your different areas of your life. Your interaction with police officers, your interaction with people of color, your interaction with your children, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And the true healing happens when you consciously make the decision to act in a way that is different, to be different. It's not always about going and like, okay, I'm going to go donate to this. Oh, I'm going to go, you know, to the support this protest. If that's what is in alignment for you, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But most of what is going to change the world is who you become because of it. And that is where most people end up.
Yeah. That's funny because it affected my husband, even though I never said anything to him about what I was reading. I never like read a quote from the book or anything, but I started to see him open up as well, which was mm-hmm. like, great. You know, he can't yes. read books. He doesn't like reading books. So he can't, yeah. So, but like, he'll read the paper. He actually cut an article out for me. And I was like, wow, that is really good. So I can see, and I don't know if it's what I did or just what kind of his own process that he's going through. So anyways, yeah. Well, this has been great. I knew this was going to go long. We talked about everything. I mean, we talked about like purpose and business and ancestral DNA. And I mean, we covered everything. So I'm happy we got to some of the things I really wanted to talk about, even though it was at the end. What do you want to leave the listeners with, and what's the best way to reach them? You have a quiz, I think. So you
yes.
might mention that. And of course, I'll add it in the show notes.
Yeah. So the best thing for people to do after this is to find out what level of consciousness that they're in. Because you can't do any of this healing. You can't, you know, have the level of impact, the fulfillment, find your purpose. All of it requires consciousness. So I have created a quiz for people to uncover what stage of consciousness they're in, what the biggest pitfalls are, mistakes, blockages at those levels. And there's a bonus custom activation to help you to become even more conscious so that you can actually be able to heal and move through these things and open up the gates for more abundance in your life. So they can get that at bit.ly/royalshamanquiz, but I'll be sure to send you the link for that too.
Yeah.
And then of course, if you want to catch up with me, you can find me at The Royal Shaman on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, or my website, theroyalshaman.com.
Yeah, that's where I found your quiz. I think I went to your website. Yeah. Awesome.
It's a really great quiz.
All right. Any last words? Be authentic.
Be authentic. Be yourself. Abundance is your birthright.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Instead of lack, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to get an abundance mindset, but I think starting with a gratitude practice would be, you know, some people just like, what does that mean?
You know what? I have a really, this is a little sidebar. I do this game with my son and I encourage people to do this just regularly as a quote unquote gratitude practice. But we play a game of who can be the most grateful. And we just go back and forth with what we're grateful about. And we can go like 30 minutes. And
he's got like a competition.
Yeah, making gratefulness fun. So you can do that on your own, like just getting really, really tangible and having a little bit of fun with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. Thank you, Makozi, so much for being here. It's been really wonderful meeting you, getting to know you. Can't wait for the next live event so we can hug. Who knows when that will be, but hopefully soon, once there's a vaccine, maybe. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.